This is the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast with evangelist Adam Borden, brought to you by Wahoo Baptist Church in Murrayville, Georgia. We invite you to join us for this time of mining the unsearchable riches of God's Word. And now, evangelist Adam Borden.
Thank you, Brother Les, and thank you for listening today and joining us for the broadcast. I'd invite you today to Ezra chapter number 3, and we're going to be looking at verses number 1 through 3. And I'm very interested in a phrase that we find in verse 1 as we begin our reading today. Look with us now. And when the seventh month was come, and the children of Israel were in the cities, the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. Then stood up Jeshua the son of Jozadak, and his brethren the priest, and Zerubbabel the son of Shealtiel, and his brethren, and builded the altar of the God of Israel to offer burnt offerings thereon, as it is written in the law of Moses, the man of God. And they set the altar upon his bases, for fear was upon them because of the people of those countries. And they offered burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord, even burnt offerings, morning and evening. Today on our broadcast, I am very interested in verse number 1 and one particular phrase. And that phrase is, as one man. It said that the people gathered themselves together as one man to Jerusalem. This phrase happens twice in your King James Bible, once here in chapter number 3, verse 1, and then once in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 8, verse 1. Chapter 3, verse 1, as we read, is dealing with the setting up of the altar of God to offer burnt offering sacrifices. This signifies that they are ready to worship God. They are ready to admit that they have displeased God in times past, which put them into the captivity. And then in Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, they come as one man and ask for the word to be read, the law of Moses to be read, which had been out of their view and out of their minds and out of their ears for those 70 years of captivity. Now, to put it in context, obviously we've mentioned that there's 70 years of captivity for these Hebrews. Why were they put there? I'll tell you why. They were put there for forgetting God, for following worldly influence, for forsaking godly ways. And King Cyrus, chapter number 1, said that God had stirred his heart to build him a temple back in Jerusalem. In chapter number 1, it said that any Hebrew whom the Lord had moved on his heart was free to go back to Judah, back to Jerusalem, to rebuild the temple as God has commanded. And in that we see that around 50,000 of those Hebrews returned back to Jerusalem. Notice this, they were freed by God's mandate. They were funded fully for the work. And then, as we see in chapter number 3, verse 1, they were fused together as one man. I don't see many churches which are operating as one man, which are joined together in the will of God, who are joined together in the word of God, who are joined together in the worship of God, who are joined together in the work of God. But I want to point your attention to another passage of scripture to help us make this point today in Exodus chapter number 26. Exodus chapter number 26 is a chapter in the midst of the instruction of God in how to build the wilderness tabernacle, the instructions he's giving to Moses. Now in chapter number 26, I want to turn our attention quickly, beginning in verse number 15, about some of the articles of the walls that go around the tabernacle. In verse 15, we find that the Bible says this, "And thou shalt make boards for the tabernacle of shittim wood standing up. 10 cubits shall be the length of the board, and a cubit and a half shall be the breadth of one board. 2 tenons shall there be in one board, set in order, one against another. And thus shalt thou make for all the boards of the tabernacle. And thou shalt make the boards for the tabernacle, 20 boards on the south side. And thou shalt make 40 sockets of silver under the 20 boards, 2 sockets under one board for his 2 tenons, and 2 sockets under another board for his 2 tenons. And for the second side of the tabernacle on the north side, there shall be 20 boards. And for there 40 sockets of silver, 2 sockets under one board, 2 sockets under another board. And for the sides of the tabernacle westward, thou shalt make 6 boards, and 2 boards shalt thou make for the corners of the tabernacle in the 2 sides. And they shall be coupled together beneath, and they shall be coupled together above the head of it unto one ring, thus shall they be for them both." Brother Adam, why in the world would you tell us about this wood? Why in the world would you tell us about these sockets? Why in the world would you tell us about this connection? Why in the world would you tell us all about this. I'll tell you why, because it's the tabernacle in the wilderness. If you've ever studied that, you know that that is a type of Christ, and it is a type of the believer with Christ within. And I submit to you today that that board, as we know, is read in the Bible as Shittim wood, but today we know it as acacia wood. That wood is a type of mankind. That acacia wood was hard. It was knotty. It was twisted. It was hard to cut, and it was hard to shape, and it was hard to form, just like us a lot of times, my friend. But he had some instructions about that acacia wood that nobody at that time would have desired to use in any kind of woodworking. Surely the Lord would have preferred cedar, beautiful, luxurious cedar that smelled good, and that it looked good, and it worked well, and it was soft, and it would smooth out. But no, he said, use that Shittim wood and cut it to a specific length, cut it to a specific width, and make them all uniform, and cut them down the way that I say. Now, then we talked about the tenons. Oh, yes, Brother Adam, amen on the tenons. What in the world is a tenon? Well, I'll tell you what it is. The picture, if you will, a dovetail joint in woodworking where one piece is cut out and the notch of the other side is cut out. That's kind of what a tenon is. It's like a foot on the end of the board. Oh, yes, Brother Adam, I about shouted when you talked about the sockets. I thought you might have, yes. Those sockets of silver, they were flattened on the bottom, and they had two holes, just like a bolt and socket would when you work with a tool today. Those sockets had a hole for each one of those tenons. One socket would fit two ends of two boards together and join those two boards tightly side by side together. So those boards, they were formed. Even though they were hard and knotty and hard to work with versus something beautiful like cedar, they were sawed to a specific dimension and a specific method. Then it said they were standing up. They were on their feet. They were on those tenons. And then I want you to notice this in verse number 29. They were covered in gold. Verse number 29 of our reading says this, and thou shalt overlay the boards with gold and make their rings of gold for places for the bars, and thou shalt overlay the bars with gold, and thou shalt rear up the tabernacle according to the fashion thereof which was showed thee on the mount. Now, God took that old knotty, hard to work with board, and he covered it with gold. I want you to see that that board was favored. That board was highly favored. Nobody ever thought of covering up cedar with gold. Oh, no. But God said, I want to take this old knotty wood, this old hard to work with wood, and I want to smooth it down, and I want to cover it with fine gold. My friend, today, if you've got God in your life, if your Lord and Savior is Jesus Christ, you are covered in his righteousness, which is purer than any gold. The tenons, they were the feet. The sockets, they were underneath. They were flattened. And the acacia boards overlaid with gold would fit down in those sockets side by side. That silver is significant in the Bible as a redemption material. 30 pieces of silver sold our Savior. Joseph was sold by his brethren into slavery for 30 pieces of silver. Silver is significant and signifies redemption. The sockets separated the boards from the earth, kept it from sinking in the ground. It joined one board to another, one on each side. See, the socket gave it a foundation, and it was fundamental to the strength of the wall. Now, I want to notice this. I'm getting pretty excited about this myself. I don't know if you're catching on to what's going on or not. Verse number 26, go back and read. Verse number 26 says, and thou shalt make for it four rings of gold, and put the rings on the four corners that are on the 4 feet thereof. Over against the border shall the rings be for the places of the staves to bear the table. And thou shalt make the staves of Shittim wood, and overlay them with gold. Now, if we keep reading, I don't want to take the time. I'm going to trust you to take the time to go back and read this. There were 5 sets of rings on each side connecting all of those boards together. They had the sockets underneath. They had the tenons in the socket. They had the board side by side, and they had rings, 5 sets of rings, all up the height of those boards, which were fitted together, fitted into a corner to give it strength all the way around on 3 sides of the tabernacle. Now, the bars, they were also of acacia wood, and they were also covered in gold. I like this right here. There were 5 sets of bars, 5, that Bible number for grace. From end to end, the grace of God held those boards together. I want to turn very, very quickly over to Ephesians chapter number 4. In Ephesians chapter number 4, verse number 11, he says this, and he gave some apostles, 1, and some prophets, 2, some evangelists, 3, some pastors, 4, and some teachers, 5. There are 5 things mentioned there in Ephesians that tell us what I believe these 5 bars represented, and that was the teaching, the preaching, the proclaiming, the prophesying, the forthtelling of the word of God that held those boards together. Now, friends, I want to get down to the good part. Sitting there in verse number 30 in Exodus chapter number 26, that the boards were reared up. They were reared up from off the earth, and they became the walls of the tabernacle. Do you remember the day when the Lord lifted you? Do you remember the day when the Lord raised you up out of a miry pit and set your feet on a solid rock and established your goings when you were just an old knotty piece of hard, twisted wood? Oh, didn't he smooth you? Didn't he cover you with his redemption? Didn't he cover you with his grace? Didn't he cover you with that gold of his righteousness? Didn't he raise you up? 1 Corinthians 3:16 says this, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth within you?" Here's what I'm trying to get to today. When we think about this phrase in Nehemiah and in Ezra, as one man, and we think about the construction of the tabernacle, those boards being smooth, those boards being sawed, those boards being fashioned, those boards being footed, those boards being fitted together, those boards being laid into a foundation of those sockets. As we think about all those things, here's what I want you to see. The boards of that tabernacle were secure. They were secure on all sides. How is that, Brother Adam, you would say? The sockets on the bottom of those boards, they gave a foundation to make sure that the boards would not sink down into the sand. My friend, we don't build our eternity on sinking sand, but we build our eternity on the solid rock of Jesus Christ, and his redemption gives us a solid place to stand. It is a foundation that keeps the boards from going down. The bars, the five sets of bars that those boards were joined by, they would not let one individual board fall forward or fall backwards. It would be strengthened by the strength of those bars and the other boards that it was attached to and the other boards that it was fitted up next to. And by the way, those boards being fitted together so closely together in those sockets, they couldn't move left or right, but they had to stay straight right in the middle where they were placed. Oh yes, my friend, it's very significant. They couldn't go down. They couldn't fall left or right. They couldn't go forward and they couldn't fall back, because they were strengthened and connected. Now you think about that, friend. They couldn't go down, they couldn't go left or right, and they couldn't go forward or backward. They were very secure. The only way that those boards could move is up. And the only way that they could move up is if they moved all together at the same time. Are you hearing what I'm saying today, my friend? We are connected in Christ, and we're not going down once we're in him. We've got the foundation of Jesus Christ. We're not going to go left or right if we're fitted together as boards in the walls of God's kingdom. If we're fitted together and we're held together by those five bars of his preaching, of his proclaiming, of his teaching, of his evangelism, of his exhortation, if we're held together by those things, we can't go down, we can't go left or right, and we can't fall forward or back, but we can go up one of these days. And one day I'm looking forward to a day when I'll hear a trumpet sound and we shall rise. Those who are dead and gone, they'll rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet Jesus in the air. Oh yes, there's going to be a unity on that day of all believers, and we'll rise together. But my burden today, friend, it's for a church that is not moving as one man. A church that is splintered, a church that is split, a church that is busted up. And there's gaps all between the boards. They don't fit together very well. Oh, my burden. It's for the church of the living God to be as one man in the will of God, in the word of God, as one man in the worship of God, and as one man in the work of God. See, great things happen when we all move as one man. Our prayer is today that we will bind together as brothers and sisters in Christ and come together under the truth of the Word of God and do His will as one man. And I promise you this on the authority of God's Word. If we do that, great things will happen for the cause of Christ. We love you today. We thank you so much for praying for us, and we ask you to join us next time on the Riches from the Pages radio broadcast.
Our prayer is that the Word of God has done a work in you today. For more information on the ministry of Evangelist Adam Borden, go to evangelistadamborden.com, spelled B-O-R-D-E-N. and click on the contact page, or you can call 615-785-5682. Join us next time as we find riches from the pages of God's Word with Evangelist Adam Borden.